This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay.
I watched that thing religiously, which never got a chance to go to the parks as a kid. Hey, I didn't actually get to one of the parks.
Go on your phone
until
and order a pizza.
I was like, somebody's
it's
talking
not
about
it. It's not working! The man's an Indian and he's an idiot! Sorry. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
You use your mute button.
Everyone's okay. Driving me crazy.
Okay. Well, all right, I'm going to back up so you can edit that out.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Rust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think of that happiest thought. And let's fly away to Neverland. I, of course, am your Spider Pan, Jeremy. I'm here, of course, to be, well, your head lost boy. That's kind of what I do here. I am head lost boy in Neverland. My name, like I said, is Jeremy, but you may call me the Spider Pan because, well, being head lost boy, that makes me the Pan, and I'm a big Spider-Man fan, and every lost boy has to have a nickname. So does every pixie. We don't have any lost girls around here because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. Anyways, we've got some fun here on the show. I'm actually part of, a couple of different new podcasts. You might be familiar with Diz Radio, hosted by Jonathan Johnson. I am a part of that team. That show has returned with Halloween fun this week. He always thrives around Halloween. And so, of course, that show has to come back. I am part of the team. I cover Disney history over there. So definitely go and check out that show. It is a great deal of fun. It's a really cool show. He has a lot of great guests on there. Also, I don't know exactly when this show is supposed to launch, but I'm going to give you a preview of it. But I've mentioned before, like Mousecast, that I was going to be working with Mousecast. Well, this is going to be a new show called Mouseka Talk that is being brought around by the head guy over there at Mousecast, Barry. So, Mouseka Talk, I'm not sure when we're supposed to premiere this episode. I recorded all the audio. I have edited the audio together. I'm going to send it over to Barry, I guess. I don't know when he wants to launch this thing. We're supposed to be putting out one show a month. He'll explain a little bit more about what that show is about when we actually are going to hear the audio. I'm going to have that preview audio here for you, so you can check out a little bit of what Mousecast is going to be like, although mainly this is just all of us co-hosts kind of introducing ourselves. I'm going to have to basically rely on a lot of pre-recorded audio, probably for the next couple of months. I have something kind of exciting to tell you. Maybe you won't be that excited about anything in your own life. This is basically going to affect me, and as fans of this show, it's probably going to affect you a little bit too. My wife and I put in an offer on our first house this week, and it was approved. So we will be in the process of moving. The house we close the end of October, like October 28th, and then from that point on, we will begin the process of moving. And my wife wants to paint the kitchen, so I guess that has to happen first. But it's going to take up as much free time as I have, which I have very little as it is, but I'm going to have to spend a lot of time moving into my new home. And I've picked out a room that will be my nice little new studio area to record the show from, make videos from, that kind of thing. But there's going to be a lot of activity, and I'm going to be super busy, so I'm not sure what's going to happen over the next couple of months. We may have to just miss a few weeks. I may have to just go on a hiatus just for my own sanity, because unless I can, you know, record a 2 months worth of shows here in October or something, not likely, that maybe I can have enough shows for November. It's just not going to happen. Eric has thought maybe I could recycle some of the old shows and replay some, but I would have to do some editing on those, because a lot of our old shows, you know, we did cover a lot of Disney news, so I don't tend to recycle old shows. In fact, I have at points thought of putting the old shows up for Patreon only, and then, you know, maybe not have the other ones available. I've toyed with that idea, a lot of different stuff. By the way, Patreon support will be more important than ever, because I have a house payment now I've got to deal with, which is actually about $300 higher than the rent I've been paying. So I've got to step up some things. I am looking to increase, as you probably know, I work 3 hours a day at a radio station every morning. I'm doing the morning drive time pretty much. Well, I'm looking to expand. I need to do more work than that. Right now, I'm driving with a company called Dispatch. It's kind of like Lyft and Uber, but except for it's courier work. And I've been driving with them, but so I end up spending like $100 a week on fuel for my car to drive my personal vehicle around to work with this company. And I've been averaging making about $200 a week. So if you take $100 of that away, there's $100 weekly that we've got as an income. And that's pretty much grocery money for the week. So, I mean, I'm just living week to week off of that. And with, you know, considering I'm only making about $30 a day, it's really runs everything very, very tight. So I need to get another job, and I could save us a lot of money by not driving all the time. Fortunately, at the radio station I'm working at, an administrative position has opened up. I'm going to try to get in on that. It is another part-time position for administrative assistant. They need somebody to answer phones. I can answer phones, you know. So, but the nice thing is, if you put that part-time work with the part-time work I'm already doing, that would turn me into a full-time employee, and I would gain some benefits and actual paid days off and sick days, which would be nice, because I would like to have some paid time off come around Christmas time. You know, that's kind of nice. I mean, it's going to take a while before I earn a lot of vacation time, I'm sure. But that would also make it very convenient, because I've already driven up to, it's a 45-minute drive for me every morning to go to Cameron, Missouri, where this radio station's at in a small town. It would be very nice for me to just work from there my entire day and then just come home. So the boost in pay plus the lack of expenses could really balance things out for me. Although I have reached out to some other different companies in the area to do maybe some production on commercial production, because I have done that now at the radio station. I need to update my website. My private, personal, professional website would be the right phrase for that. I've done ads for different companies in the area and for the Kansas City Renaissance Festival and things like that. So I've done some voiceover now for some ads that play on our radio station. And of course, with this other company that needs somebody who does that to do that type of production, that is an option for me, maybe when I finish my shift on the air, because I would like to not give up my on-air position that I have, even though it's only 3 hours a day. I would, you know, travel to this other company and start working on production there. I've also put in with yet a third company that needs somebody to be on the air for a drive time show in the afternoons, which would also work out very well for me, because then I'm on the air in the morning in one place, I'm on the air in the afternoon in another place, and I'm doing my dream work pretty much. So there's also been some other potential business opportunities. I'm working with the Real Brian of the Real Brian Show. I've mentioned before, we're working on some potential opportunities that may open up for us. So life is really stressful and in transition, and all kinds of things are going on with me all at once. So I may have to take some time off. I mean, normally here, launching into October, I would have a bunch of themed shows for October, but I really have not honestly had the time to think about what kind of things I would like to do for October, other than I was planning to have Jim Korkus come back because he's got a new book. And also he wanted to talk to us about the making of The Nightmare Before Christmas. And I think I would like to still try to do that this month. So I will still try to get that rolling. But I may not have as many episodes this month, and I might not have as many themed episodes. After all, how many times can I talk about the Haunted Mansion? So, you know, I'm working this out. I've got a lot of things I have to deal with, and a lot of things on my plate. So if you have some weeks that you don't see an episode, don't worry. It's not really the end of the show. It's just me not really having time to present anything. And there might be some weeks where I just like, you know what? I've got some audio of this. I've got some presentations that I have never shared with you at conventions and stuff like that, that you might just hear me transition straight into a convention audio. And I am planning upcoming, I did get to attend a Jeff Barnes, you know, the writer of The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. He gave a keynote speech here locally, and I do plan on sharing that audio with you very, very soon. So that is upcoming. But I wanted to let y'all know what all is happening before we really get into some fun on this show. But I think that covers everything that I needed to get across to you, wanted to communicate with you. Like I said, visit our Patreon page. The support there is more important than ever to keep this show going, as I have to adjust for my house payment. My insurance is probably going to go up, because instead of just renter's insurance, I got to get fire insurance and hopefully not flood insurance. But, you know, I live in a tornado alley. I might have to have some good insurance for a tornado, which hopefully is not going to hit our house. This house has stood there. It was built in the 1960s, so it's been there a good long time. So, but anyways, that's what's going on here. But enough of me babbling on about this. I want to dive into a little bit of some interesting news that I found this week.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
So the Main Street Electrical Parade is having its last day today. I think they're supposed to have it maybe one more time Monday night. The website's a little unclear at the Disneyland.go, because it says it was running from August 2nd to September 30th, but it also mentions like one day left, last day September 29th. But by the time you hear this, it'll be the 30th, and I think they're going to have it one more time. But that's when, of course, they're going to start some Halloween parades coming up, of course, for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which I guess they've moved that mainly into, I think it's Oogie Boogie who's really running everything over in DCA. So, but I expect they're going to have some sort of Halloween-style parade going on in Disneyland. That's what would be my thought, probably the Boo to You parade. That is what I'm expecting. I can't find anything that confirms that, but that is what I'm expecting. And after that, of course, they're going to move straight into the Christmas Fantasy Parade over in Disneyland. That's going to run November 7th on probably through Christmas. And then early in 2020, Mulan's Lunar New Year procession will come along into Disney's California Adventure Park. Now, of course, in Disneyland, after the Christmas parade and the holidays is all done with, I'm not entirely certain exactly what parade we're getting that's going to replace, maybe in the evening. I have heard that there's some new stuff in the works. Not exactly sure exactly what that is, but we'll keep an eye on it and we'll let you know when we find out a little bit more. But this, of course, is your last chance to see the Main Street Electrical Parade at Disneyland. I honestly thought they were going to keep it around a little while, but I guess it was just kind of a summer special. Well, that's okay. I mean, I'm sure you got a chance to check it out and enjoy it if you wanted to. I hope you did. I wish I could see it. I would have really liked to see it. Something else I wish I would have liked to have been able to see was Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, but I have definitely missed out on that one. But there's this really nice jacket that they're making available. It's a spirit jersey at Mouse Gear, World Traveler, and the kiosk outside Port of Entry in Epcot that is now available today. And it's got some of the modern Mickey artwork. They're calling it a jersey. It looks more like a long sleeve shirt. That's how it appears to me. But it's got Mickey and Minnie on the back with, looks like some bits of the pavilions around Epcot. And then at the top, it's got the, you know, the opening up dome that's the torch. And it's got fireworks and it says Illuminations on the back. It's very neat looking. And a great way, I think, to commemorate 20 years of this show. Something else that's going to be really new to you. I think they've done some media soft openings this week, but officially launching up here today, Sunday, as I record this, and so it'll be active by the time you hear this. The Disney Skylander Transportation System is open, and I have so far heard some fairly nice things about it, that it's turned out to be a great thing. And there's some video up on the Disney Parks blog. If you go to their website or to their YouTube channel for Disney Parks, you can watch some video, and it looks like it's very comfortable seating, and it looks like it's the glasses where you can see out and you get a whole view of the resort area. I've seen pictures on Instagram of ornaments that they have for sale that look like the Skyliner cars with all the different characters on there. I've seen Haunted Mansion ones, and just looks really, really great. And so it is open, and people seem to really think it's going to be super neat, or that have ridden it. They've, you know, a lot of nice things have been said about it. So this apparently turned out to be very, very cool, and it's a great way to get around the parks and get a good different view. I don't think it's necessarily fast moving, but you get to view of the resort. And I almost wonder if you got onto Disney property, if you couldn't just ride the thing around a little bit, you know, even if you're not heading to go inside a park, just be on resort property and just park somewhere. It's like, I want to just come and ride the Skyliner. I'm wondering if that is an option. I am not entirely certain about that, but I think that would be very, very cool to just come by and just ride the Skyliner, you know, just for a little bit. Also, keep in mind, the International Food and Wine Festival is still going throughout the rest of this month, and that they have been promoting on the blog that there are events for kids to do during the event. So feel free to bring your kids over there, even though, yes, I know it's food and wine, and your kids are not going to drink any wine, but your kids are going to like food. Your kid might be picky and might not try everything, depending upon your kid. But, you know, it's still definitely worth bringing them out. And another just kind of a nice story is that Disney did give $100,000 to help bring arts programs to some youth at the Central Florida Community Arts during a weekly choir rehearsal. Apparently they've been doing this now for weeks. They're just finding different places to give a grant for a lot of different things around Central Florida. They've already done stuff through McCormick Research Institute, the Covenant House, Community Hope Center, and After School All-Stars. They're going to be doing this for at least 4 more weeks, giving away some grant money to various different programs in Florida. So, you know what? That's pretty cool, and good on them.
All right, y'all. One more time. It don't matter what you look like. It don't... Nobody gonna sing with me. Okay.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Yes, a new trailer dropped. And you've probably already seen this, but I'm going to play the audio for you anyway. But we have a full trailer now for Frozen 2.
Far away, as north as we can go, once stood an enchanted forest.
You've seen an enchanted forest?
Yes, it was a magical place, but something went wrong. Since then, no one can get in or out.
Wow, Papa, that was epic.
What would I do without you?
You'll always have me.
Has Elsa seemed weird to you?
She seems like Elsa.
There's this voice.
Voice? What does that mean? Head for the cliffs!
I'm gonna blow!
I've got you!
The kingdom is not safe. Find who is calling to you. They may have answers.
I'm going with you.
Anna, no.
Excuse me, I climbed the North Mountain, survived a frozen heart, and saved you from my ex-boyfriend, so, you know, I'm coming.
That's normal.
Where are we?
How did you get in the forest?
The mist parted for us.
Impossible.
Where did you learn magic?
Elsa, get out of there!
You can't just follow me into fire.
Then don't run into fire.
Magic is very alluring. Without you, she may lose herself to it.
Protect Arendelle at all costs.
I believe in you, Elsa, more than anyone or anything.
Quick question. Is the whole putting us in mortal danger gonna be a regular thing?
I have to say, this one got my attention. This is more like it. This kind of gives... Because, you know, when they make a sequel, a lot of times I'm like, okay, why are you making the sequel other than money? What of the story gives you good justification for a sequel, you know? Some stuff, you just know it's a franchise. Superhero movies, you just know it's a franchise. You just kind of expect it. And they really, with the Marvel Universe, they have had a great ongoing story throughout films with all these varying different characters. You know, you knew it was going somewhere. It was very cool. We were watching the slow development of the Infinity Gauntlet and all that stuff. You know, and Star Wars, of course, is kind of a franchise. We always expect a certain amount of sequels. Speaking of Star Wars, there was something I would like to maybe bring up, but I'm not going to, that Mark Hamill did something I think was pretty uncool on Twitter. And it's one thing that you have opinions on things politically or whatever, but he kind of did something that was below the belt, low blow, kids are off limits kind of thing. But I don't want to get into it. I don't like to focus on negative things in here, but that really, to me, hurt. I mean, I still love Star Wars, but wow. Yeah, I'm going to skip past that, though. If you would like to check into it, I'm sure that news is going to be everywhere. That's something that dropped today. But I try to ignore celebrities of what they do in their regular life unless I find out that they're doing something cool in their regular life. I don't get into gossip things, and celebrities disappoint you with their personal lives all the time. So I just, you know, I would rather enjoy the entertainment, you know, although it's fun to interview some of them, you know, when they're, especially the ones that don't get any notice, like voice actors and puppeteers that I don't think get enough attention for their craftsmanship. Anyways, but yeah, I was talking, let me get refocused here. So Frozen 2, you know, so far, you know, I hadn't seen anything that really got me excited to be like, okay, this still just seems like, hey, look, we're going to do more with Frozen because we made so much money off of it. We need to make another one. But this one presenting at least, okay, here is some general ideas of what we've come up with for an interesting story. And it still left plenty enough vague. We don't know what's going on, but we've learned now about this enchanted forest, an enchanted kingdom that Elsa and Anna's parents knew about. And I still think Elsa is actually from that kingdom. I think is what they're going to find out. Something went, there used to be friendly at one point, but something has gone wrong. And so there is some sort of evil at work, apparently. Hopefully we get a good villain and not a surprise weak villain like the first one, so it'll actually hold my attention the entire time. But oh, this one looked kind of fun and adventurous and exciting and more fun with Olaf, and I'm in. I even like that at one point we see all Anna was holding an ice sword, like a sword made out of ice. I thought that was kind of cool. The one thing that I would have to have a question is, maybe I need to go back and look at the frame where you see her holding it in the trailer, but she looks like she's holding this ice sword in her bare hands. Anna would get frostbite, okay? I don't care how much you can handle of cold, you're holding ice for a long period of time, you get frostbite. So she needs to wear some sort of glove so she's not in skin contact with it. So I want to go back and look to see if she's wearing a glove, you know, and how nice of Elsa to make Anna an ice sword, I guess. But it's kind of cool. But I'm just thinking, you know, it's kind of important that you don't hold that with your bare hands for long, because holding it for, you know, holding ice like that for too long, you're going to get frostbite. It's going to have an effect. But this trailer was much more exciting. I think showed there's definitely more adventure than what maybe we've been previously teased at. So this looks like it's going to be entertaining, and I am now interested in seeing it to see what all they've come up with in this enchanted forest. And so I'm in.
Let's take a ride at a Disney park. Let's take a ride right now. Oh, oh.
Great.
Welcome to the Avatar program. Soon you're going to have a chance to undertake an amazing Navi rite of passage, flying on the back of this powerful animal called an Ikron. Or as we call it, a banshee. The way you're gonna do this is by being matched to something called an avatar. And I'm here to help you guys get ready. But first, we have to scan you for Pandoran microparasites. All right, everyone, stay on your number and move your arms a bit. Okay, start scan.
Okay.
You've all got them. But don't worry, they're very common around these parts. Let's start the decon.
Initiating GMR decon.
Stay still over your number, you're not gonna feel a thing. I'm doing great.
They're all clear.
Great. Now let's go over how all this works. Like I said before, you're going to be matched to these things called avatars, which look a lot like the Na'vi. They're created by blending human DNA and Na'vi DNA. Once we match you to an avatar, thanks to a special link chair, your mind will be able to control that avatar. Using avatars to fly this way was all figured out by my boss, Dr. Jackie Ogden. She leads her science team, which is part of the Pandora Conservation Initiative, and we're here in the Valley of Moara studying banshees and their environment. Over a generation ago, this enormous company called the RDA created a lot of damage to the area through their bad mining practices and conflicts with the Na'vi. Just like on Earth, it can take decades for ecosystems to recover. One way to understand what's going on with an ecosystem is to study what are called keystone species. These are animals like tigers, jaguars, seals. The banshee is one of these important animals. Dr. Ogden is the foremost expert on studying the Ikron and has spent years researching them. Unfortunately, banshees live high in rookeries and humans can't get anywhere near them without becoming their lunch. But the Na'vi and avatars can. In fact, the Na'vi have been riding on the backs of banshees since their earliest history. Thanks to science, avatars can ride on banshees too. That's why you're linking to an avatar. It was Dr. Ogden who restarted the avatar program. It's because of her that you're able to go through this rite of passage today. Pandora is a breathtaking natural world. I cannot wait for you guys to see it for yourselves. So, let's get ready for our next... Huh? I'll be right back. Put the standby system on, quickly. Okay, to get you flying on a banshee, we need to find each of you an avatar. Let's prep the genetic sampling.
I'm on it.
Okay, first we need to find the compatible match of your genetic material with the genetic material of one of the avatar bodies that we already have. Once we do that, you'll be able to link to that avatar. And, fly. Help us out and move around a bit.
Almost.
Yes, got him. Now, let's find you your avatar matches. Been matched with avatars. Looks like they're ready for you in the next room. When the door opens, please go inside all the way in and stand over the same number that you're standing over now. And I'll see you in there. Watch this piece by Dr. Ogden, who runs the program.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Jackie Ogden from the Pandora Conservation Initiative. You're about to experience a ceremony that's very special to the Na'vi, flying on the back of an Ikron, or as we call it, a banshee. To the Na'vi, connecting to an Ikron and flying on its back is an incredibly important rite of passage they call Ikni Maya. With permission from the Na'vi and in partnership with Alpha Centauri Expeditions, we can now bring this amazing experience to you. The way you'll be able to fly is by linking to an avatar that's already on the back of an Ikran. Let's see how this works.
We establish a link using powerful psionic amplification equipment. A human driver is connected to an avatar, which could be physically hundreds of kilometers away. When you follow our technician into the link chamber, you'll see a series of 16 link chairs. Please go to the number that matches the number you're standing on now. First, stow your gear in the storage containers on the back wall. This should include all bags, cameras, and other items, including cell phones. It's important to push them all the way into the bin. Then get onto the chair as you would a bike. Straddle the seat, step forward, and sit down. Slide your hips forward until you are against the chest pad, and then move your feet all the way forward. Wait until you're seated before you put on your flight visors. Hold onto the hand grips as shown. It's important to hold onto the hand grips at all times. After you're seated, back and leg restraints will be firmly engaged. For your safety, throughout this entire experience, always remain seated and supervise your children.
Once the link takes place, you'll be connected to your avatar and sitting on the back of an Ikran. It'll feel like you're really there. Moments later, you'll begin your flight. A Na'vi guide will lead you out. You'll experience the breathtaking beauty of Pandora, but you might also face some of its greatest challenges. Some of this flight might be intense, but trust your guide and be brave. As the Na'vi say during this important rite of passage, Sivak Ho, rise to the challenge. Good luck.
All right, you ready? Let's get you into the link chamber.
All right, good morning, Kalte Travis. Great to have you flying with us today. Two quick things before we head inside. Number one, you will be restrained at a height above the ground, and secondly, the floor under you will be moving. If you're prone to motion sickness or a fear of heights, this is a great time to opt out. Is everybody okay to fly?
Yep.
1 through 8, you're going to follow me at first, then 9 through 16, you'll follow number 8. Here we go.
Attention drivers, stow your gear on the back wall and then get onto the link chair the way we showed you in the video. Then put on your flight visors. For your safety, throughout this entire experience, remain seated, lean forward, holding onto the hand grips, and supervise your children.
Para su seguridad, durante toda esta experiencia deberán permanecer sentados, inclinarse hacia adelante agarrando las barras y supervisen a sus niños. Gracias.
Slide your feet forward, lean into that chest pad, here comes your restraints.
Restraints activated.
Great job, everybody. Thank you so much. Good job.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, your linking process will take place momentarily. Please remain seated, keeping those hands on the hand grips for me, and enjoy your flight. Arayo.
Okay.
step up the link chair, gather your belongings, and exit the link chamber.
Oh my god. That is amazing. Oh my god.
I know, right? Oh my god.
To Disney and beyond.
Hello and welcome to Mouska Talk. I am your host, Barry, and our show is a little unique because we're going to be interviewing other podcast hosts and bring them on, and we're going to be talking about different Disney things. But tonight, we want to go ahead and introduce you to our cast here. We have a bunch of them on, so we're going to let them introduce themselves and tell you why they love Disney and what podcasts they listen to. First of all, again, my name is Barry. I am host of the Mousecast podcast. What we do is we do both interviews and we also talk about the latest Disney news and do whole bunch of different things to get you engaged into the Disney community. So our slogan is we are the show where the mind meets the magic. So we try to bring you into a little bit of not just Disney World, but also Disneyland and the other parks around the world. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to turn it over to Jeremy. Jeremy?
Well, obviously I'm Jeremy then, but you may call me the Spider Pan. I am head lost boy in Neverland, which makes me the Pan. I'm also a big Spider-Man fan, which makes me the Spider Pan, because all lost boys and pixies have nicknames. Toodles doesn't hang around anymore, by the way, just in case you're wondering. He lost his marbles. But so basically when you come to Neverland, pixies pick out a name, and no, we don't have lost girls because girls are too clever. They don't get lost. But I host Neverland to Disney and Beyond, formerly just known as the Neverland Podcast. You can still find our website at neverlandpodcast.com. But I needed to make the show a bit more specific, so that's why I added the subheading to it. So when you go searching for us, if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, you can find where to find us. You know, we're on Apple Podcast, we're on Google, we're on Stitcher, we're everywhere. I even have, of course, a YouTube channel that is under Neverland to Disney and Beyond, where I post gaming videos occasionally and other fun videos. Topical things pop up there. I also have my personal YouTube on Spider-Pan, so I'm kind of everywhere. You can follow me on Twitter, Neverland PCast. I believe Instagram, I'm under the Spider-Pan as well. But I put up some pictures here recently of my adventures in Toonfest in Marceline, Missouri, where I visit every year. That, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, is Walt Disney's boyhood home, and that place is magic. Now, my Disney fandom kind of goes back to being a little kid and watching the Disney Channel and sitting there watching Donald Duck Presents and watching the old classic cartoons, watching all of the animated movies. And I think the one that really first struck me as fantastic for the animated was that I got obsessed with was Little Mermaid in 1989. But I never got to go to any of the parks as a kid, and I didn't make my first park visit until I was like 32 years old. And that I call it kind of a life-changing experience, because there's one thing, of course, to be a fan of the films and the animation and love all that. But going into the parks is a completely different experience. But I only have one park visit to my namesake back in 2009, the only time I went, and it was on somebody else's dime. I'm one of those people that I'm poor, I can't afford to go, and they keep, you know, pulling the carrot further away on the stick here lately with the prices. But I will get back there, and my wife has never been, so she doesn't fully understand the sickness. So I started a podcast mainly because I used to record myself as a kid, and I always kind of dreamt of being in radio. So I started making the podcast, not necessarily intending to create a Disney podcast. So we do go outside Disney every once in a while if you listen to the show, because we're topical. I'll do a little bit of news, but mainly topics because we're just fans of all the different stuff. Basically, I knew I was a Disney podcast when Disney bought everything I've always loved, like Marvel and Star Wars and everything. So if they go and buy Doctor Who and Star Trek, I'm going to just tattoo Disney on my forehead because they just own it. So that'll be the end of it. So, but yeah, so that's I've kind of got my obsession to go a little bit further. But I focus a little bit more on the entertainment side. But I'm definitely more of a fan of classic Disney than I am. And so I still like some of the modern Disney, but I love the classic stuff even more. Definitely the Walt era and some of the years after that is still some of my favorite I mean, I'm still completely enchanted within 5 seconds of watching Pinocchio when you look at all the clocks. I'm just completely enchanted by that movie, you know. So I love classic Disney, and I enjoy modern Disney, but it's not always as good. It's really hard to live up to one of the things that Walt created in his lifetime. So anyways, but I also am fond of babbling, and so I will just keep going. So I'm going to stop.
All right, let's turn it over to Ty. Ty, why don't you go ahead and let people know about you?
Hey, guys, I'm Ty. I'm a very proud Texan, and I'm one of the three hosts of the Great Big Beautiful Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I've been a Disney fan for, heck, as long as I can remember. I'm only 35, but as long as I can remember, I've been a Disney fan, whether it be watching the movies or going to the parks. I've only been to the parks 3 times, and my last trip was 2009, but that has not stopped my love for Disney at all. Big fan of Disney movies, and then as soon as Star Wars and Marvel came under the Disney cloud, I was like, oh, I'm done. Disney, take my money whenever you want. But yeah, but at the risk of rambling on, I'm going to stop right there, though.
All right. Okay, all right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with rambling. I'm good at it.
All right, let's turn it over to Kim. Kim.
Hey, guys. It's Kim Pachano. I am a reformed non-Disney fan. So I went to Disney when I was a kid, and I loved it, of course. But as I grew older, I really was not a huge Disney fan. I didn't watch a bunch of Disney movies at all. I met David, my husband, who's on Barry's other podcast. And it was about 8 years ago. My husband was a huge Disney fan, and we had our son, and my husband wanted to go to Disney. And I was like, ugh, I want to travel the world. I don't want to go there. I had no interest. I thought it's all fake. I really had a bad view of Disney. I liked it as a kid. There was things that I loved as a kid. But we went, and my son has autism, so I was a little bit nervous about how Disney would treat him or how he would welcome Disney. And if he would get it, you know, if you're an autism parent or a parent of special needs, you sometimes don't know if your kid is going to react the way other kids react or want that. And I didn't want to be disappointed. Well, I wasn't. We went, and just everything that they did in Disney changed my mind as to how they treated him, how they accommodated him. He was 4 and a half. And I'll never forget the first thing that just got me was him meeting Mickey Mouse. And I thought that maybe my son wouldn't get it. He got it, and he hugged him, so like this huge hug, and that, all the memories came back to me. And I realized that this is amazing, you know. And it was a great trip. And there was other things that happened during that trip too that just, I don't know, reestablished my wonder and the magic of Disney. And mostly with my son and my husband, and we all had a great time. And it was actually the first vacation that we had in a long time that we could all relax, because we would always go to the beach. I love the beach. We're from New Jersey. We have great beaches here. And my son loves the beach, but it's hard to keep him at the beach entertained. He's running around. I'm always building sandcastles. I'm exhausted at the end of the day. And even though at Disney, at the end of the day, you're tired, in Disney, he was tired. He was entertained. And my husband and I could have a drink at the pool or relax. And it was just great. So since then, we've been hooked, and we became DVC members shortly after. And we started our own Disney group. Now that's Disney, a couple of years ago. And it's everything to us now, all three of us, me, Fulton, and my husband. So we just love it. And that's where we're at. I'm a teacher. I teach first grade, and I'm a crafter. I make stuff. So I'm busy, and we live in New Jersey, so we don't go maybe twice a year. We're lucky. Usually definitely once a year for a good long trip, like 11, 12 days. And that's me, Kim. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Kim. Let's jump over to Dawn.
Hi, I'm the one that screamed because I have a three-ring circus over here. Am I off? Okay. I have a three-ring circus over here, and my son's ordering DoorDash, and I'm a one-woman show, so I'm doing everything by myself and working two jobs. So I got a little frustrated because we ordered DoorDash about an hour and a half ago, so, and it's not here. And I don't care, but he's mad at me and saying, where's the food? So as to why I like Disney, and you can edit all that, but I grew up in Florida. I've been to Disney World, Disneyland, both of them. Disney World, I would say close to 100 times, maybe more. I have another home there, so I try to go as much as possible. I'm not a big fan of Houston, so I don't like the fact that we don't have a theme park or anything that really brings families together in the city. So I try to bring my family as often as I can. Epcot is probably, well, Epcot and Magic Kingdom are probably my favorite parks. I do have a special place in my heart for Disneyland since that's where Walt originally went. I've done many of the tours there as well as Disney World. I've ran a half marathon at Epcot for the food and wine. Let's see. I've been to Chicago to the home where Walt was born. I've done the fire station on Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour. So I've done a lot of the things that I haven't seen Marceline. I did go to the candy shop, though, at Downtown Disney and Disneyland, Marceline Candy Shop. That's as close as I've gotten to his hometown. And then, well, his second hometown. And then, one thing that was really fabulous is the carousel in Griffith Park in California. That's where he actually got the inspiration to build a theme park before any of it was ever done. And I guess if you know the history, you would have found that out. So I rode that carousel, and they have has anyone else ridden that, by the way? When you're there, they have a section. After you get your ticket, they still have a paper ticket, which I love. It's very nostalgic. Same wooden horses preserved with an organ playing. And then when you get your $2 ticket, that's what it was when I was there, they have a section that has the bench that he sat on and pictures with him and, you know, maybe the first picture of Disneyland when it was the grand opening, that kind of thing. And a little bit of like a little miniature museum, if you will. And then just riding the carousel, knowing that he, you know, that was the inspiration. I was crying. My kids are like, Mom, you're so crazy. But it was just very emotional to me that, you know, you walk through the park and you see the awning of the carousel and the fact that it took, you know, he sat there and watched this and thought, I wish there was something I could do with my kids and my family and parents could actually enjoy it instead of just sitting back. It just was moving to me. Anyway, I'm babbling. So that kind of got me to realize how important it is to find something to do to bring your kids and have that special time with them. And you'll never, you know, forget it. It's memories you're building that last a lifetime.
Hooray for babbling.
Sorry.
All right.
I'm putting it on speaker now. Off.
All right. Let's jump over to Kara, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Kara. That's my handle on Twitter, and that's my YouTube channel name. I am a Disney travel agent, so I'm actually a travel agent for everything, but we specialize in Disney. So on Facebook, it's Simply Magical Vacations by Kara. And so I go frequently to all Disney destinations. I've been to Disney World 6 times this year. I've been to Disneyland once so far this year, and I've been on a Disney cruise in the last couple weeks. So definitely enjoy going to Disney destinations. I enjoy booking other people, you know, to go to Disney destinations. And so Disney is just one of those places where excellence is in the details. And so the more that they focus on being excellent, the better it is for everyone. And so I just enjoy helping people make simply magical memories. So that's my passion.
Nice. All right. And also joining us to help us on the podcast is the great folks of Disney History 101. And joining us tonight is Mark. Mark, why don't you tell us about what you guys are up to?
Okay. My name is Mark. I'm a Disney History 101 producer. My wife, Beth, and I run an online museum called DisneyHistory101.com. We like anything Walt era, television shows, attractions, and films. Personally, I'm a historian, an archivist, and producer of shorts starring Field Guide Beth. You might notice her in a red vest and plaid. She's not an actual tour guide, but she is pretty knowledgeable about things that have to do with the Walt Disney Company and certain Disney parks. She very well could be a tour guide. She's very interested in preservation. She has a passion for people-oriented stories. So those are the types of things that you'll hear her reporting on from time to time at DisneyHistory101.com. We do have a YouTube channel. We are on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We collect a lot of vintage images of the parks. You might want to check out some of our vintage views there of things from Florida, things from California, and also from the studios. As far as our films and our shorts, they're divided into two categories. We report on people and places that are relevant to Walt Disney, his life, his work, and his legacy. The people shorts, as far as those go, we interview actors, actresses, artists, and authors that are affiliated with Walt Disney Studios and Walt Era Parks. I don't know if you've heard of Dave Bossert, who wrote a book about Oswald the Lucky Rabbit last year, or Mindy Johnson, who wrote a book called The Women of Ink and Paint, or Marcy Smothers, who wrote a book called Eat Like Walt. Well, we had the opportunity, because of our location here where we live, to interview them and pick their brain about some content and things to look forward to in their books. And we built up a nice relationship with them. We also interview artists and actors, former performers in the parks. We just had the opportunity to interview three former Matterhorn climbers from the 1960s. And it was interesting because it was a reunion. So we got to bring them back together. And they were so inspired by it that they went off and they climbed. They headed to Zermatt this month. It's kind of cool. Yeah, they were like in their 70s and they're headed to Zermatt. So we're like looking forward to getting updates as far as where they've gone and who they've met. Places, this is very important, but we support local museums, nonprofit 501(c)s, and private collections that preserve Walt's life's work and his legacy. We do a lot of traveling in order to present these stories, and we touch upon mainly lesser-known Walt-centric secrets and locations. So we've been to the carousel that you mentioned, the Spillman carousel that inspired Walt to build Disneyland. But we've been to all sorts of other places. This past year, we went to Arizona, Texas, and several areas in Northern California over the past few months. So that's pretty much it. That's DisneyHistory101.com. My name is Mark, and I look forward to joining you here in the future. Thank you.
And I thought your name sounded familiar. When you mentioned Disney History 101, I was like, oh, that's why I know your name. Okay. Because I know I've been following y'all on Facebook. I think y'all have a podcast too, don't you?
No podcast. This is actually untapped water for us, but we're looking forward to it.
I think it was maybe Disney History Institute I was thinking of. Yeah. They have a good podcast too.
Yeah.
History.
And a good Facebook page too.
Right. All right. So you've met the majority of our group here. And like I said, our goal and our aim here is to bring the Disney community, especially podcasts, together to come and talk to each other about different Disney things. It may be a topic. It may be the latest news that's going on. It'd just be interesting just to pick the brains of those other people who are out there in the podcast community and see what their thoughts are for just whatever's going on. And our hope is that you will find our podcast entertaining. One little special thing about this podcast is is that it's a monthly podcast, so you're only going to hear us once a month. And that gives us enough time to find podcasters to come on to want to talk with us and to get it out to you so you can enjoy it. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. And I am thankful for all the co-hosts here that are here tonight. And I'm excited to do this, and I hope they are too. And until next month, have a great day.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.